850 The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You're tuned to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host. For the next 2 hours, here with Larry Dial.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for the hand, John.
Poor John.
John is doing our screening. Our number is 860-0850, pound 850. If you are a 360 communication customer, we pay for the call. So don't be shy. If you're in your car, pound 360 will get you right in here. And our sponsors for today, as usual, are Computer Renaissance with two extra locations. Great locations, yes. Great locations. One at in Cary at the Crossroads Shopping Center, and one in
Six Forks.
Oh, Six Forks at the North Hills Plaza.
Right. Good places. Good places to go.
And by Mindspring. I think they still are. Yeah. And you get, yeah, they are. And they have great
internet services
and for businesses and for individuals. And you can get them at 1-888-8-MSPRING or www.mindspring.com.
And they have a special for AOL users.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they have a button there. Do you want to switch? Yeah. Did you see the hand coming out of the monitor and grabbing
you by the throat? Yes.
And with us in the studio today are Robert. Robert, what's your last name? I can't hear you. Is the mic not working?
Hang on.
The mic is not working. John? Robert Bruce and Howard Udell from Safety Net. And we'll get it in a second. I know there's something probably really.
Yeah.
No?
No. John.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, okay.
Welcome to the high technology show.
I don't have the thing up.
This is Computers 98, not
Larry,
Radio
Larry,
98.
Larry, say something.
Should I continue to say something? Later. We're going to talk about, thanks to people who called in last week, I did some work on iOmega this past week, because for those of you out there who remember last week, we talked about iOmega's problems called the click of death.
Click of death.
Are they on now? Can we say hello to them?
No.
No. No, we don't want them.
Wait, no, go
you
ahead.
Can say good morning.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Welcome to High Technology 98.
See, without John, what would we do without John?
Well,
where is he?
I don't know.
There he is.
There he is. We would have a hard time.
Yeah.
That's why he's our.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
What do they do?
Safety Net.
There we go.
Safety Net is a great. It's a great concept. It's really great, and it's right down my alley.
What, they live on your street?
Backup.
Backup alley, yes.
It took a little bit of time to get me convinced that this idea is really a good idea. But as usual, I mean, any backup is a good idea.
For you that uses 3.1 still, and it takes a long time.
And no, it doesn't. Sure. Actually, it takes... Well,
wait a minute.
No, let's not get into how long it takes.
No, I mean, it takes a long time for you to be convinced of anything.
Oh, of course. I stick to my guns. But my machine works all the time. I don't have to reformat and FDSK.
Yeah, but it's no fun that way.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I mean, if it works, it's just boring.
What they do is you back up your hard drive to a remote location.
Which is really a good idea.
A very good idea.
And why is it?
It is painless.
Yes.
Because you don't have to do anything. You just have to leave your machine on, and it works. It's funny the way that the whole thing developed. We met during the iNet show over at the Civic Center. That's the first I heard, actually, that how it works. Although Howard and me talked some time ago, it skipped my mind. And then we talked and wanted them to come on the show a few weeks ago. One of my customers got the service from them about 2 weeks ago, and sure enough, they crashed.
The customer crashed?
Yeah. and was brought back
was
up.
Was restored to life.
Restored. I mean, this
these are like the Dr. Frankensteins of computers, right?
I don't know if Frankenstein.
Bring it back to life.
John, would you come here and press some of Larry's buttons? Because I don't know what.
Okay. And I just started drinking coffee. So. No, I like the idea. So how does this work?
It works now. Well, I'll let Robert and Howard, Howard and Robert.
Sounds like
Howard.
A bad TV show. But
no, as a matter of fact, it's a very good TV show.
What is?
Why bad? Why do you keep thinking negative?
Because
it's a good TV show.
No, every program in the world that's negative.
Oh, okay.
We're always surprised when something works.
But I let them explain exactly how it works and what's going on in a minute. First, also today, we're going to have a Mr. David Sang from Quarterdeck calling in about 9:20 and talking about viruses. Since Quarterdeck is going to be a guest also in the next hour.
Okay. We're going to give something
away. We're going to give Quarterdeck stuff away. They were very gracious to send. We have Quarterdeck tune-up and Quarterdeck clean sweep. Here, take it.
Both of which I've used.
And we'll do it. We'll announce when we're going to do it. Also, we have a bunch of books from MCP, from the people that do the Sam's book and Q and all. About Windows 95 preparation for the test.
Oh, to become a 95 engineer.
Yeah. So we're going to give those away, too.
Good.
So we're going to have an exciting show. And our number is 860-0850. And if you're in your car and you have a 360 communication cell phone, free call to #850. And we'll pick up the tab. All right. So, guys, who wants to talk about it? Robert?
Yeah, it's really a quite simple installation of the software itself. It installs through Windows 3.11, Windows 95, or Windows NT for the PC version. It installs on two floppy disks, and once it's installed to the system, it creates a program called SafetyNet. And once SafetyNet is installed, it performs a initial backup of what exists on the particular drives that you're going to back up. It scans the system and performs an automatic backup through a scheduler that you determine the date and the time for your PC to initialize its modem, do an initial backup, back up the contents of that C drive to our remote servers in downtown Raleigh. And once that is done, that's really the extent of what you are involved in as a user with the backup product. Once it goes through its initial backup, it sets a date and a time for the initial or the incremental backups following the initial backup, and it initializes on a daily basis and performs backups of any additional applications or changes to files made on a daily basis.
And it did take a long time the first time around.
Well, you're backing up, you got
everything.
A lot of stuff on them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you remember, you're backing up about a gig over a 33.6.
Yeah.
It's a long time, but hey,
once
it's
there.
Worth it. It's worth it. After that, it takes what, an hour?
It depends, again, on how much change has been made. Yeah, that's
but
right.
The average.
That's right.
Yeah.
One of the other things I'd like to point out as it relates to the first backup is SafetyNet, because it's on a timer, it's non-intrusive to the user, meaning the backup is usually happening while you're at home having dinner and not while you're working.
Right.
So our whole philosophy on that is to get a good thorough backup, which is a great idea. In the worst case is if it takes into the next day, you can cancel it out, and then the next night when you're home for dinner again, it starts itself up again and mm-hmm. finishes the process right where it left off.
And that's exactly how it happened with me. We stopped, and
you had your dinner.
It started and it crashed. The connection was broken, and that's probably because of what's happening in our office. Started the next morning, and it kept on going. And the nice thing with 95. I was working on my machine. It was just sitting there in the background doing the backup, and I was doing my work. I was trying not to overburden the machine because I wanted to go as fast as possible. But
so 95 was actually sort of multitasking. That's what it does.
No, it is, Mr. NT.
Well, NT actually does multitask. That's just fine. Never mind.
860-0850. Found 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. And you're listening to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. We're talking with Robert Bruce and Howard
Udell.
Udell from SafetyNet.
All right, guys, so you got your box backed up. Everything's there. And then it blows up. How do I have to go out and buy a new box or somebody or whatever. How do I get it all back?
Well, once that happens, if it's a complete disaster in the occurrence of a theft or a fire or something mm-hmm. like that, or your C drive crashes, you call us. We burn CDs, and we bring those CDs to your site and perform a full system recovery off of those CDs.
Well, that's great. So you go ahead. I mean, you provide that service for a client.
That's correct. Right. And in the case of a partial loss, the end user is instructed when the installation takes place. The end user is shown how to go into there's several tabs when the program is created. There's a backup tab, a restore tab, a scheduler tab, a billing tab, and a log. You access the restore tab. You follow the same path that you would in Explorer on Windows 95 to find the file that was that was lost. Double click on that. It'll put a check mark in the file box. Hit restore, and at that time a password box drops down, and you enter a passcode, which is secured.
Mm-hmm.
Once that passcode is entered, it initializes the modem, calls us, retrieves the file in its encrypted format, and recovers it back to your system.
I like this.
And if you lose the password, they don't even know it. They can't help you with that. I'm serious.
Well, that's good. That's the integrity of the process.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've got several small offices that this would be perfect for. And the people who now back up on floppies and all.
Do they?
Well.
See, that's the problem. That's what we were starting to talk about. That, I mean, a tape is a nice way to back up.
Right.
And you do it, you buy the tape and you do it religiously and then you slack off and you slack off and you slack off and you slack off.
And I think it really is not a matter of whether they do or don't want to do the backups, as we discussed. It's that they have small, this product is really geared towards small to medium sized businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So, they have businesses to run, and they realize the importance most of the people that we're talking to of doing the backups. Everybody has, at least has a plan in place. Now, that's one step. The next step is, are they really doing the backups? And the truth of the matter is, they're working from 7 in the morning till 7 at night. They're tasked with what they have to do to run their businesses. And at the end of the day, they say, well, you know, I'll do that tomorrow.
Right.
Well, tomorrow turns into a week, turns into a month, and before you know it, when something does happen, they have an issue.
Yeah, I mean that's you're really right on about small offices. The large companies have IS managers or IT people, and that's what they do for a living. But where you have a receptionist secretary who, like in a lot of medical offices, that have programs that they back up, and most of them are pretty good. But the other piece is this gets the data off premise too,
and one of the other
and that's real important.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
One of the other things that we found is we, in a lot of cases when we talk about backup, people think of that as a disaster recovery only. More often, it's not that the machine was stolen or crashed or anything like that. It's that inadvertently a file was deleted or a subdirectory deleted by somebody.
And they need that back.
And they need that back. And usually if there has not been a backup, obviously they're in trouble. If there's been a tape backup that's older than those changes, it's not there. But most, what we find that's very exciting to people is by simply clicking on the restore, as Robert was saying to you, when you see it, it's almost magical because you're actually able, when you click restore and enter the passcode, you're not calling us. This can be 3 o'clock in the morning. The machines are talking to one another through the modem, and the files that you selected came back. So the beauty there, what we found, is it liberates a lot of people who are afraid of their computers to go in and use the computer the way it should be used. Because if they change something, they know, without anybody knowing, they can click on restore, enter passcode, and bring it back.
And they don't have to wait until the middle of the night. They can do it right there and then.
Right. 24 hours a day, they can just restore whatever.
They can just say, I want it now. It's almost like you have a remote hard drive somewhere.
I like this a lot. I mean, there's a number of small businesses that this would be really applicable for.
I was going to say, we like to think
of most. Yeah, you're right. I mean, anyone who keeps records on a computer that are important to their business. And I deal with a bunch of doctors' offices, and I know that their medical records are vital, and not just for their business, but for their patients and for the legal aspects too. And to get them off premise is really a good idea, and get them backed up.
Well, there's something else there that when you talk about the medical field, one of the concerns that's interesting is the idea of encryption. People mm-hmm. will ask us, well, what can you do with our data? Well, your data is encrypted on your site before we ever send it. And what's ironic is they're concerned about encryption, but when they do their own backup, they're doing it to a floppy, and they're giving my medical record to a secretary to take home and put in her sock drawer so somebody can open Word and see that I had a wart removed, you know, in October of 94.
Good point.
Thank you.
Good point.
Where was it? I never.
Okay, so what's it cost? Let's talk about money.
It's really nice. I don't care any way you look at it.
It's a value.
Backup.
It's a value.
And it's a great value when you hear how much it costs.
That's what I want to know.
I mean, it's really. Guys, you want to talk about it?
Sure. It one thing to say prior to talking about what it actually costs, if I could do that, is to look at the actual cost to a business of A, if they are really performing backups on a daily basis. Somebody in that organization is charged with that responsibility. So there is a burden labor salary associated with the person doing the backups. Then there's the time spent and the actual hard cost of buying the tapes and so on and so forth. So that cost, you can average it someplace between $1,000 and $2,000 a year.
And that's fair. Yeah.
About that. And for, you know, up to 3 gigabytes of storage, the safety net service is $388 a year.
That's like $30 a month? Roughly, yeah.
Right.
That's amazing. That's terrific. And this is for everyday backup.
That's correct.
Every day.
In fact, there is no limit on the amount of time, so that even though the scheduler defaults to once a day, there's at any time that you'd like, because you just did a major proposal or you just did a lot of bookkeeping. We don't limit that because we feel it's your tool and you should be able to use SafetyNet as often as you want. You just click save and backup and go refill your cup of coffee and you're done.
And that price includes full service for that year in the event that we just discussed that someone does suffer a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. All they have to do is call us. We write the CDs. We bring the CDs out to the business and take the time necessary to recover their machine.
That's
for
terrific.
Them.
So how do people get hold of them?
We're going to do that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wade, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Fine, how are you?
All right. I've got a quick question. If an individual or a company already has ISDN lines, do you guys offer ISDN connection to kind of speed it up a little bit?
Absolutely, we do. There's three modes that you can access SafetyNet. You can obviously use a modem, which is a free call in Raleigh, carry all those areas that are free local phone calls. There's the Internet for people who have dial-up so that they don't have to pay for the call for the backup, and then on the ISDN side, if you click on the LAN version, it's set up to default right to our server through our firewall and do all the passcodes necessary.
And in the backup tab, there's a communications selection. You would select communications. It drops down a box, and that's when you select either modem, Internet, or LAN connection.
So you can literally choose on each backup and each restore, depending on where you're located. That's not something you call us on. That's completely in your power. If you're local to Raleigh and you want to back up modem, fine. And then you find yourself on the road and you want to back up via the Internet, fine. And you're back at the office and you have the ISDN line, bang. It's all included in the service.
Oh, that's great. What about backing up Windows NT servers?
We can do any Windows 3.1.1, Windows 95, or Windows NT.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling, Wade. Okay. I'll tell you what. Let's break away here. Your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent or your mortgage and your car payment, the Beamer.
The Beamer?
850, the Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 98 on 850, the Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communications customer. We pay the tab here, huh?
Yeah.
We pay the tab here.
You've gone over the edge again.
No, I'm still here.
I'm really buzzed. This is a good service. I like these guys. I like what they do. So we need to talk to them some.
He's going
to
switch jobs on me. Every time that we have a guest here, the next week.
What?
Larry changed jobs. Larry, please.
We have an extra seat, Larry.
Move over, Eric. This is a great idea. We need to.
Going into the next break.
What are we giving away?
We're going to give away Clean Sweep.
Let's give away John.
We don't give away John.
Eligible women. Here's a good-looking young man, gainfully employed.
Very nice, too.
Very nice. He's looking for a...
We're looking to give away Clean Sweep Deluxe. Be the seventh caller. To 860-0850. Not now. Hang up. Not now. When we go into the commercial on at 8:40.
This is Quarterdeck.
Seventh caller. This is Quarterdeck's
clean sweep, and it's for 95.
It's for DOS.
3195. I don't think it's for NT, but I could be wrong. Is it on CD or floppy or?
I didn't open it. It's still sealed.
It's pristine.
So be the seventh caller to 860-0850 or #850 if you're in your car, and you win Clean Sweep Deluxe. We start with that. When we go into our next commercial break, that is.
15 minutes from now.
Right. Now, I had a question this week from somebody about installing a new CD and removing the old drivers. Say, what do you do? Do you go to Device Manager? How do you do
it? Is it 95?
Device Manager.
I'm sorry.
NT.
NT 50 has Device Manager, so bite your tongue.
There. you go to the Device Manager and you take it out of there. And the main thing is what talks to the CD is you would have a device driver in your config sys that actually brings that CD to life. Some systems will also have in the AutoExec an MSCDEX line that actually assigns it a letter. If it's a good 95 or NT installation, you won't have it. Well, I mean, NT, you'll never have it.
Right.
But if it's a good 95 installation, you will not have anything. You may have that line in the AutoExec, but it'll say rammed out
right.
by Windows.
Because it sticks it in that AutoExec, that DOS.
DOS.
I think.
When you go out to DOS from within Windows,
right.
then it. So anyway, you remove that line from config sys. And you go to the Device Manager and you remove that particular CD and you install. You would have to install, if you're 95, you would have to install a device driver in the config sys. So you have an installation diskette that came with the CD. Just run it and it will take care of adding that line in there. And you start up and everything should be okay. It's not an art. It's really, those two steps.
It's a religion. It's plug and pray.
Yeah. Right.
You plug it in and pray that you find it.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Good. I have a quick question for you on accessing an office network from a remote location. I'm wondering if what your experience is with either dial-up networking, which I understand you have to add the server component from Windows 95 Plus, or... what your experience might be with something like PC Anywhere.
Stick with PC Anywhere. This is NT or
95? No, 95.
Yeah, but stick with PC Anywhere.
Great, okay.
PC Anywhere has been, they've been doing it for a long time. They know what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
They worked all the bugs out, and it works. Everybody that I know that uses remote access uses PC Anywhere. For NT, it works too. I know Dev uses PC Anywhere.
Yeah.
Emery likes... Remotely possible.
Remotely possible, which you can get off the web.
You can get sort of like
you can get a light version off
the
web for free.
It's expensive. It's about $300-$400.
Yeah, PC Anywhere is a couple hundred bucks, and Laplink's a couple hundred bucks.
But
PC Anywhere
works.
Is a good question. Both
of them work.
Okay.
I know because we have two machines that are co-located with us at the Internet Center, and both of them are NT, and one is using PC Anywhere. And Emery is using remotely possible. They never have to come in. They do everything remotely.
Okay, and that goes right into Windows 95. I don't need the server component.
That's correct.
Okay, great. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for calling 850 the Bounce. All right. Good. So anyway, that's what we're talking about, removing a CD. And I want also to mention that next week, our guest over the phone,
mm-hmm.
Just like we have today, we have phone.
And last week we had over the phone.
Right. Next week is going to be Intel.
What?
Intel.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Is Andy
so
going to call?
So far, my experience with what they want us to talk about is not very good at all. They sent a pack called Create and Share, or Share and Create, I can't remember. It has a mini cam and a microphone and a PCI card modem and video capture, and you're supposed to use it like a video phone. And I am yet to get it to work. Two of us worked on it. It just doesn't want to work. It doesn't want to see the modem. Then it doesn't want to see the car. And they ask, in all honesty, they ask, which version would you like us to send? The USB or the PCI? And I said, well, you know, PCI is something that's more people would probably buy because not everybody has a USB. So far, I'm waiting for a call back. I'm going to tell them I want the USB if it goes in easier because there's no way that I can tell anybody to buy this.
This is a new product.
This is a new product, and the proof is in the pudding. It is a new product. It doesn't work. Oh, yeah. It doesn't work for me. Let's put it this way. I tried on two different machines.
I mean, speaking of Intel, this was a big week for them because they announced lower than normal earnings in the stock market. This shows you just how sensitive the stock market is to technology stocks. You know, Intel announced that their earnings were not going to be what they thought they were going to be for the last quarter of 97. And the stock market fell 400 points or something god-awful like that. Recovered the next day, but still, Intel is one of the main drivers of the stock market technology stocks, just like Microsoft is. So when Billy gets up in front of the esteemed Senator Orrin, I don't know anything about the Internet Hatch, but I have all the power. I'm ranting you. It just shows you how what Gates, you may or may not agree with anything he says, except what he does say that is absolutely true is that the software business has made a lot of people a lot of money, and not just him.
An
awful lot. I heard some astounding figure, like there's 57 millionaires out of Microsoft alone, and there's a whole lot of people who have made an awful lot of money who aren't millionaires out of Microsoft. And then there's the hypocrite of hypocrites, who is Scott McNeely, his son, who's sitting up here, you know, shaking his fist at Bill, and I think he's only worth $23 billion. So that's why he's not happy.
So why are you so unhappy?
I'm always unhappy. I'm a programmer. I told you, we have this view of the world that nothing ever works. And we're always surprised. See, that way we're always surprised when it does.
I don't know. Maybe after talking with the guy from Intel next week.
We'll understand. Well, that's what, yeah.
Maybe you will switch.
And buy what? An alpha chip?
I don't know. 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer. 860-0850. You're listening to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Larry?
Well, I want to talk to our friends from SafetyNet, but still, at some point I wanted to renew what we were talking about earlier in the show and last weekend as iOmega, because I did do some work on them this week and wanted to bring everybody up to speed on what's going on out there. So whenever you
did some work about them.
About them. About click death and about their portable zip drives and also.
So do I need to write it down to remind you, or you would know to do it?
It's sitting here looking at it on my laptop.
Okay, good. Okay. Let's go back to SafetyNet.
Yes.
So it's about 30-some bucks a month. 30 bucks, I don't know, whatever. It translates.
Yeah, $380 a year.
$380 a year. Right. It's about $35.
For that, somebody has to do nothing, really, on the backing up side.
That's correct.
Not on the backing up. On the
user side?
On the user side.
Yeah, you get somebody to install it, and then you click. Right?
And it comes up automatically.
You put a schedule in, and it does it.
That's it. And it just sits there, and it does it every night.
But I have a question, Dave.
And it works. I mean, I'm beginning to be a real believer.
I know you are. But what I want to ask is...
I'm glad this is not TV.
Who backs up the backups? Now, I've got all my data on your server.
Uh-huh.
So your server blows up. What happens to my data?
Well, we do 3 master backups a day of the entire machine. One is sent to a bank vault downtown. I'll plug our bank, Centura Bank. It's in a bank vault there. And 2 others are taken off-site to different locations.
Good. So there's always a backup of the backup somewhere that's safe.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you want to know something else?
Yes.
Do you back up at home?
All the time.
And to tape?
To tape.
How many tapes?
2.
So you always have 2.
I carry one in my briefcase with me.
You can always refer to one back.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys do? How many do you guys keep?
We're keeping 30 backups for the customer.
Oh, so you can go back. Oh, you know,
you go back a month, huh?
Can you? I mean, this is overkill, but it's nice.
No, it's, well, you're talking about people wanting data from the past. So if they've changed And you go back and say, well, on the 13th of this month,
well,
I did something.
Right. Well, but you know what? Now that thinking about it, yes and no. Because if you wrote a document called Larry.doc,
mm-hmm.
and you backed it up, and then you revised it yesterday, will it bring back the
old one, or will it overwrite?
It'll have both, I think.
Let me play that out for you. As long as you backed up last night and you did Larry.doc yesterday, we have both versions, and you're actually able to go through on SafetyNet without having to pull out a bunch of tape or anything. Right on the software, we show you all 30 backups. So what you can do is
go back
several days and say, where's Larry.doc? We'll show you the date and the file size. And you'll say, oh, this is today's.
Right, you drop that screen down, click on the date, and then the SafetyNet software will show you what your machine looks like.
Okay, so can I today go to Larry.doc from February 26th? And retrieve it, or will Larry.doc will be the revised one on every day?
Larry.doc, we have both. If you're back to February. But here's the other thing
to
keep in mind.
That's very nice.
Because I don't think I was real clear on that. As long as something is on your machine, we have it forever. It's only when you delete something that the 30-day clock starts. And it's not 30 days, it's 30 backups. So some people with laptops that might back up every third day, they've got months of backup, and they can go through it very intuitively, they're not calling the server. That also is key. They're doing this all from their machine before they ever dial the server.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
And you know, in 95, there is another serious point about backing up, which not every tape backup and not every floppy backup does.
Registry?
Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Amnon. How are you doing?
Fine. You're at the lake.
No, I'm on the way to a... computer class.
Okay.
You're taking a computer class?
Yeah.
I thought you knew everything about computers.
Not me. I'm just learning. Did you gentlemen ever come up with my answer about the registry files?
It does back up system dot. It backs up the registry files, both system.dat and user.dat. The only mild qualifier to that is that we're going to back up system.dat and user.dat are not always... the active, a lot of times they're closed. We do back them up. We looked at Amnon's. That was backed up. And we're also backing up the backup files to those. So in the very worst case, we would have the system DAO and the user.dao, but we do back up system.dat and user.dat. So we can recover the entire machine, including the registry.
Dave?
Outstanding. I would like to give you guys a plug. The system works beautifully.
Thank you very much.
You're one of the customers. And Dave, I'll let you know later on today what happened.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah. Drive carefully.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Learn a lot.
Bye. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz.
Well, that's terrific. That means because one of the big problems with 95 was that even if you backed up, you lost.
Well, you see, this is the whole point.
Settings.
Over here, the claim is, and I'm yet to see it, I saw it starting and we had a problem with the CD. Bring it up to a C prompt and restore Windows 95. From a C prompt, from a formatted drive that can see a CD. That's all you need, right, guys?
That's exactly right.
That's all you need.
It brings your machine back to life.
Now, I could not swear to that because this I'm yet to see.
But that's
it what started and it did everything, but there was a problem with the CD that's beyond all of us. You know, there's nothing we could do. It was a problem actually with the drive, not with the CD. So we're waiting to see today how it's going to be.
Well, this works. This is terrific because that means you really can restore your entire system without...
The preferences that you most recently changed.
Right.
Everything that you've done, according to when your last backup was
performed. Because most of us who crash and burn systems regularly, whether we want to or not, have that issue. That is, it's all right to install Windows 95 again, but then you've got to go back and install all of your settings.
Absolutely.
And all your application preferences. This is
We find one of the things that's really interesting about that is when you talk to people, their initial reaction might be, well, I have my applications. And then you say, okay, well, let's find them. They don't know where they are.
And
then they say, well, I didn't change that much. And I say, oh, well, let's look at how Word works for you. And they go, well, it saves it to this default directory. I said, well, let's look at how Windows Word would normally. And they go, oh, yeah, well, I changed that. That would take me days to fix. Yeah,
that's
right.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. We're going to break away from for a commercial here. Now, remember, be the seventh caller to 860-0850 or #850 if you're in your car and you are a 360 communication customer to win Clean Sweep Deluxe from Quarterdeck right after we go out to the commercial. So your calls are coming up next. On the station, you want to pay your rent or mortgage and your car payment, 850 The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. We have a winner.
We do?
Peter Riley from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Congratulations, Peter.
He gets Clean Sweep Deluxe from Quarterdeck.
He gets to clean up his PC.
Our number is 860-0850, #850 if you're a 360 communication customer. Oh, Peter Bailey. I'm sorry, I didn't see it. It's dark in here. Sorry, Peter Bailey.
It's dark in here, or you just, you need your glasses.
I need my glasses too. I'm sorry, Peter. That's right, Bailey. Peter Bailey from Raleigh, North Carolina. You tune to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. And let's go to Al in his car. Al, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
How y'all this morning?
Fine, how are you?
All right. Look, I'm having a problem with Windows 95 losing its registry. And this,
nobody ever told you to kind of close it when you walk with it?
No. But what I found, and hopefully you can tell me if this is correct, I go in and do a reg edit,
yeah.
Right, and export it, and it and saves it and it creates an icon for me. And I'm told that if I lose my registry, all I need to do is click on that, and it'll reload it for me. Is that correct?
Are you talking about the window that comes up and tells you that there's a problem with the registry?
Right, the window comes up.
And it's got a long button on the bottom that says click here to restore?
No.
Oh.
No, it's just that when you're booting up, it'll come up and tell you that it lost its registry, and then you start missing a lot of VXD files.
No, that's not true. If you lose the registry or there's a problem with, if you lose the registry, I don't know what happened if you completely lose it.
You're
completely. But if it gets corrupted, a lot of people don't know that the difference between the registry and the WinINI file, for instance. If you mess up the registry, you are, quote unquote, screwed. Well, the WinINI, you can go in and edit it and stuff like that. With the 95, it's kind of hard to do it because you're sort of like caught. You're in a
rock and a hard place, right?
Because unless it's working, Windows will not come up.
That's correct.
And that's a problem. I'm sure there are ways to go and copy it, but if it gets corrupted, you get a window that tells you that there were problem with the registry, and it gives you a button on the bottom that says, click here to restore. There is a backup registry that it will do it, but if it does it again, that's it. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, somebody called last week about a website that I think you should go to called www.annoyance.org, and it has files upon files of material about Windows 95, including a whole section on the registry. And I would go there and take a look at their information.
Are you on the internet, Al?
Excuse me?
Are you on the internet?
Yes, I am.
So, okay. Yeah, go to that site and... it's www.annoyance.com, or right. .org, I'm sorry. And because if you go to annoyance.com...
.org?
.org, yeah.
Okay.
And you will find an immensely useful site that has information on all aspects of Windows 95. And somebody called in last week and reminded us of that about a problem that they'd seen with accessing drives or something.
Yeah.
And I went and checked it out again this week, and it's fabulous. And I highly recommend it, and it's got terrific, easy-to-understand stuff about all those problems with the registry.
I'll check it out today.
You got it.
All right, one other question.
Yeah.
Trying to get memory for an IBM 6577.
What is a 6577?
Well, it's just a regular Pentium 133 IBM PC desktop.
Which one? What?
Oh, 79T.
Is it an Aptiva?
Is it an Aptiva?
No, it's not an Aptiva. It's just a regular 6577 desktop. If I can explain it to you.
No, it's a regular 6. Well,
right.
you can pick up the 99479 or the 3.
Anarchic.
No, the pricing, how old is it?
It's about 2 years old.
If it's 2 years old, I would suspect that it has standard memory.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not the special. IBM always had, like, special specialty memory.
Right.
But I would, if it's 2 years old, I would think that it was, it would be standard. The only people that can tell you is to call IBM and ask them.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz.
Right. Bye.
Okay, let's go to...
Yes.
Mike!
Yes.
Hello.
Good morning, how are you?
Good morning.
Very interesting guest. Sounds like he has a great service there. I'm going to have to...
They. We got two of them here. They sound alike, and they don't look alike, but this is radio, so you wouldn't know that.
that backup service sounds very good.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm real, real excited by it.
The got a question with... actually, two separate questions, if I may. I've recently put a larger hard drive in my computer and reloaded Windows 95, and I'm having a problem now with my dial-up networking settings. When I set my modem setup string, it works fine as long as the computer's on. Once I turn it off and reboot it, the networking it defaults to an E. And I can't, so far I haven't been able to get any help from the computer manufacturer.
Wait a second. Where are you putting this?
Actually, go through dial-up networking and do the configure settings, and it goes all the way back to the, for instance, if I were to go to control panel and modems, I can go in there and check, and it does, in fact, set it there.
Yeah, that's not dial-up networking. I always wondered where you put the initialization string for a modem in 95. Are you saying that once you turn the machine off and back on, the initialization string goes away?
Yes, it goes and defaults to an E.
An E.
Yeah, and it didn't do that prior to me doing this reloading 95 on this new hard drive.
Hmm.
Everybody's telling me they haven't heard of it before. Sounds like you
haven't. I have never heard of it.
You mean the initialization string itself is E?
Yes.
Is the right modem installed?
Yes. And this is on, I use three separate modems, and this is on all three of them. Well, when I find the answer, I'll let you know.
I would love it.
I haven't heard that one. We need to know.
The initialization string is in the properties of the modem, yeah, the control panel?
Yes.
I've never seen it. I mean, going with those two modems now with the Intel thing is also, I mean, I've never encountered the initialization string. Interesting. Okay, and you have a question also about printing?
The other problem was, yes, I've got a totally separate machine that I recently upgraded from 3.1 to 95.
Are we talking upgrading as installing 95 on top of 3.1?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And now I have a problem with... whenever I print a document, I have to print it twice to actually get one good one. The first time I print it, it comes out, I only get half a page. And I have tried everything.
Is it in Word?
It's in Word or Excel, either one.
Either one.
If I print two documents, I get one and a half. Or if I print three, I get two and a half.
Does it print the half first?
Yes. Oh, no, it's last.
Sounds like he's being taxed.
Yes.
I'm not.
Probably.
Interesting.
What I would look at is your printer properties in 95. I know there's a whole series of tabs, and under there may be a setting on pages. It sounds like this. It's printing a landscape rather than a portrait as your default, so you're getting, in fact, a page and a half. You see what I mean?
I've tried that. I've
doesn't
that
work?
What printer do you have?
This is actually, that's a Canon.
Color?
Yes.
It doesn't, does it sit there as though there is some more stuff in the buffer?
Actually, what it does, when it gets to the place it's going to cut off, I get a just quick, the arrow light flashes quickly, and then it pushes the page out.
Wow.
And if I go to, to the printer setup in Windows 95.
Maybe memory, too.
Yeah, if I print a test page, it does fine.
It does fine under a test. It doesn't print page and a half under...
No, it does correctly if you do a print test page.
And it was working okay before you put 95?
Yes, sir.
Do you have
wonder why we use
printer drivers?
You wonder why
I'm
using 3.1, huh?
Oh, uh-huh. And I was telling you that 3.1. Only thing I can think of, too, that you might try is go back to that page I recommended to the person, the caller, www.annoyance.org.
Sure.
That's all. They've got a whole section on printers there, too, and problems that 95 has with them.
That's great.
So you might find something there.
I'll give that a try.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't tell you how much I like that site because it's just got so much good stuff on it those little things that drive you nuts, like they're driving you nuts right now about 95.
Both of those may be there.
Yeah, it might be.
Did you uninstall, I'm sure you did, uninstall the driver and refreshed it? And
I did.
Very interesting.
Yeah. If you find out something, let us know.
Thank you very much.
Very, very interesting questions. I'm sorry they're bugging you.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Boy, half a page. The only time I saw things like that happen is with... No, but that wasn't even it. With lasers that didn't have enough memory, it would put the page half...
Oh,
half a page on each, but it spit out two pages with half on each.
Well, all praying is voodoo anyway, so I mean,
okay.
We know that.
Tell you what.
Yes?
Peter, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Go ahead.
Or, yeah, Bailey or Riley, depending on how much light is in that room.
No, he doesn't have his glasses on. I'm telling you.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
he didn't get it.
I was listening to that caller was calling and talking about the problems he's having printing out of 95.
Yeah.
And when he mentioned he had a Canon printer, it kind of lit a little light on. I had a lot of adventures with I had a Canon 4100. Now, granted, that's not exactly state of the art anymore.
Oh, it was nice though.
But hey, it's still doing a good job.
Yeah.
For me. But it was running happily under 311 when I took the plunge and upgraded 95 over top of 311, and then it just went to its went to a wonderful mysterious place where lost documents go. I got the upgraded drivers too, and actually talked to Canon directly and got incredibly frustrated because nothing was working. It turns out, and this may not apply anymore if the guy has a newer version of 95. That there's a virtual device driver in 95 called LPD.VXD.
That you can assume that the guy has an older 95 because he upgraded 3.1, so okay. It's the older one for sure.
This is a possibility then. Some of the Canon printers, and the 4100 is one of them. They have, I guess, what's called a bidirectional communication.
Mm-hmm.
With 95 in a way that does it a little differently than anyone else, I suppose. And believe it or not, that virtual device driver that comes on the 95 CD-ROM is actually newer than this one. But that's what's causing the problem. I actually found this out eventually by hunting around on the internet.
And you found a newer driver.
And believe it or not, it's actually an older driver.
Okay.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's real interesting.
Okay, well, that's a good solution there.
Now, the only thing that it may, depending on where it sounds a little different, is that I either wasn't printing anything at all or I was printing what looked like a bunch of control strings, and the test page would not work either.
Mm-hmm.
But after getting proper LPD.VXD.
LPD.EXE.
VXD. Yeah, it's a virtual device driver.
Yeah.
That cleared it up.
Okay.
There might be something about it on the Canon web page too.
Yeah, good information. I know that I had a problem with Oki data printer this way.
All right, Peter.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent or your mortgage and a car payment for the month. 850 The Buzz.